Welcome to Dissect, long-form musical analysis broken into short, digestible episodes. I'm your host, Cole Kushner. While I'm already hard at work on season 2 of Dissect, I couldn't resist writing some preliminary thoughts about Kendrick Lamar's new album, Damn. Today's episode is less of a dissection than it is opening remarks to what is clearly another dense, masterful work. No, season 2 of Dissect will not be on Damn, like some have already requested, but perhaps today's episode can serve as a kickstarter to your own analysis. And if you're new to Dissect, be sure to check out our 22-episode examination of Lamar's album To Pimp a Butterfly. I suggest starting with episode 1, which you can find at the bottom of our feed. Okay, without further ado, let's dissect. Sort of. Maybe it's time we pray for Kendrick Lamar. On his 2015 album To Pimp a Butterfly, Kendrick undergoes a metamorphosis from self-loathing Compton rapper to self-loving global icon, a transformation he likens to caterpillar turned butterfly. It seemed to function as a blueprint for salvation, aimed especially at the African-American community navigating the racially charged strains of modern America. But rather than end Butterfly on the euphoria of the song I, Kendrick instead concludes with the epilogue Mortal Man. After spending the majority of the album questioning himself and the world around him, Mortal Man asks us, his listeners, to question ourselves, specifically the build-them-up, watch-them-fall relationship we have with our leaders. He reminds us that however large his mythos becomes, he's human and he needs our loyalty when, quote, shit hits the fan. The ghost of Mandela, hope my flow stay propelling. Let these words be your earth and moon, you consume every message. As I lead this army, make room for mistakes and depression. And with that being said, my nigga, let me ask this question. When shit hit the fan, is you still a fan? When shit hit the fan, when shit hit the fan, is you still a fan? Mortal Man is a foreboding provocation, an insightful premonition about his future after the release of To Pimp a Butterfly, an album he knew would propel him beyond his thin status of critically acclaimed rapper. Indeed, Kendrick is now in the eyes of many a savior who can lead us to the promised land. 2 years later, we get the album Damn, an incredibly dark, dense record, and perhaps Kendrick's most honest to date. While we're still in the incubation stages of processing Damn, my first thought about the album was, maybe it's time we pray for Kendrick Lamar. Damn opens with a skit set against a Tarantino-inspired backdrop. Kendrick attempts to help a blind lady who's lost something. Spoiler alert, he's shot and killed by the woman, who likely represents Lady Justice or America herself.
You've lost your life. Is it wickedness?
Kendrick's death is followed by clips of Fox News reporters mocking his performance of All Right at the BET Awards. Later, on the album's opening track, DNA, Geraldo Rivera is heard saying, quote, hip-hop has done more to damage young African-Americans than racism in recent years.
This is why I say that hip-hop has done more damage to young African-Americans than racism in recent years.
The juxtaposition between the blind woman allegory and the Fox News soundbites, as well as the absolute wrecking ball that is the opening track DNA, and it would seem that Kendrick is, among other things, frustrated that To Pimp a Butterfly, his helping hand to a lady in need, has been propagated as part of the very problem he was attempting to amend. Fox News becomes the Romans nailing Kendrick to the cross, the manifestation of his fears laid out on Mortal Man. Damn continues down a mostly dark path. And that makes sense, because despite his best attempts at preaching humbleness and harmony on To Pimp a Butterfly, Kendrick sees darkness all around him. Dumbfounded by the bleakness of current affairs, unsettled by the despair he feels within himself. In the opening moments of the album, he asks, is it wickedness? Is it weakness? Is it wickedness? Is it weakness? It seems to be a question about the nature of mankind, and the duality between the two feel like the guiding principles that propel the album. Songs like DNA, Ya, Element, Lust, and Humble are fueled by wickedness, Kendrick at his most vain and prideful, submitting to the temptation of vanity, of expressing the quote-unquote chip on his shoulder he speaks of throughout the album. Watch my soul speak, you let the meds talk. If I kill a nigga, it won't be the alcohol. I'm the real
this nigga after all. Bitch, be humble.
Hold up, bitch.
Sit down.
Hold up,
be humble.
Hold up, bitch.
Sit down.
Other songs like Love, Loyalty, Feel, and Fear exhibit the sensitivity of our genetic makeup and find Kendrick at his most vulnerable and revealing.
I wanna be with you. I wanna be with. I wanna be with you. I wanna be with. I wanna be with you. Just love
me. If I didn't rap, lay no curve. Kendrick, Forever the Gemini, has grounded yet another album in the duality that runs so deeply within him, this time expressed in the wickedness-weakness dichotomy. But there's an emptiness and aloneness to Damn unmatched on his previous albums. The line, "Ain't nobody praying for me," is a main motive repeated several times on multiple songs. It's an expression of loneliness in the face of global adoration, of the dehumanization that is inherent in his savior status.
Shit, I feel like ain't nobody praying for me. Ain't nobody praying for me.
And it's here that we realize that despite his best attempts at embracing his savior status on To Pimp a Butterfly, it's a role he clearly hasn't come to terms with. On the song Triple X, he gets a call from a friend in mourning whose son was killed over a debt. He asks, quote, "K-Dot, can you pray for me? It's been a fucked up day for me. I know you anointed. Show me how to overcome." Kendrick's response isn't the godly one we'd expect from a savior.
I can sugarcoat the answer for you. This is how I feel. If somebody killed my son, that means somebody getting killed. Tell me what you do for love. Loyalty and passion of all the memories collected. Moments you can never touch. I went in front of niggas, spot and watch him hit his block. I catch a nigga leaving service if that's all I got. I chip a nigga, then throw the blower in his lap. Walk myself to the court like, bitch, I did that. Ain't no black power when your baby killed by a coward. I can't even keep the peace. Don't you fuck up when I was in the street.
This response, rooted in vengeance, is a long way from the Kendrick we are presented with on To Pimp a Butterfly, who'd likely respond with a little more mercy.
Just because you wore a different gang color than mine's doesn't mean I can't respect you as a black man. Forgetting all the pain and hurt we caused each other in these streets, if I respect you, we unify and stop the enemy from killing us.
On the surface, Damn seems to be more Old Testament than the New Testament that is Butterfly. The internet, myself included, speculated about a second album that would serve as resolution to the darkness of Damn. We predicted resolution because that's what we've come to expect of Kendrick Lamar. Good Kid, Mad City resolved with the comforts of Sing About Me, I'm Dying of Thirst, Real, and Compton, while Butterfly gave us All Right and concluded with the teachings of Complexion, Blacker the Berry, You Ain't Gotta Lie, and I. The absence of a resolving, angelic second album colors Damn darker still, clearly now Kendrick's most lonely and haunting work. He no longer seems to be standing on a pulpit. Rather, he's among us, more concerned now about his own well-being than ours. On the song Feel, Kendrick states, quote, "I feel like the world want me to pray for them, but who the fuck is praying for me?
I feel like say some. I feel like take some. I feel like skating on. I feel like waiting for.
Maybe it's too late for them.
I feel like the whole world want me to pray for them, but who the fuck praying for me?
Ain't nobody praying for me."
It seems Kendrick may be looking to shake the good kid status so heavily embedded in his public persona. One needs to look no further than the album cover for evidence. A slumping, devilish-looking Kendrick stares into nothingness with empty eyes while the blood-red M of the word Damn sits atop his head like devil horns. He looks like a man possessed, far from a leader we'd entrust with our future. If Damn offers any solace, it's a voicemail left by Kendrick's cousin Carl that bookend the song Fear, which seems to be like a key puzzle piece in the album's narrative. Cousin Carl acknowledges Kendrick's loneliness and inner turmoil, quoting the Bible passage Deuteronomy 28:28.
Understand this, man, that we are cursed people. Deuteronomy 28:28 says, "The Lord shall smack thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart." See, family, that's why you feel like you got a chip on your shoulder. Until you
why God do I gotta suffer pain in my heart, carry.
The four verses that follow the voicemail are a Freudian-like exploration into the concept of fear. Each verse reveals the fear Kendrick felt at different points of his life, from the fear of his mother at age 7, the fear of dying in the streets at age 17, and the fear of losing everything at age 27. The last verse is the album's grand reveal. One by one, Kendrick rattles off Damn's entire track list, explaining how fear is a common thread among them all.
I'm talking fear. Fear losing creativity, I'm talking fear. Fear missing out on you and me, I'm talking fear. Fear losing loyalty for pride, cause my DNA won't let me involve in the light of God, I'm talking fear. Fear that my humbleness is gone, I'm talking fear. Fear that love ain't living here no more, I'm talking fear. Fear that is wickedness or weakness, fear. Whatever it is, both is distinctive, fear. What happens on earth stays on earth, and I can't take these feelings with me, so hopefully they disperse. Within 14 tracks, carried out over wax, searching for resolutions until somebody get back. Fear. What happens on earth stays on earth, and I can't take these feelings with me, so hopefully they disperse. Within 14 tracks, carried out over wax, wondering if I'm living through fear or living through rap.
As revealed in the last line, the 14 tracks of Damn are desperately cathartic, Kendrick's best attempt to relieve himself of the emotions he feels but doesn't necessarily agree with. Because feelings are strange like that. We feel without control. We're held hostage by our DNA. Kendrick seems to know the idealized version of himself more than most, but is perhaps frustrated by his failure of fully becoming that person. He seems troubled by his thoughts of pride, of lust, of vanity. And if To Pimp a Butterfly was an exercise in emotional constraint and personification of idealism, Damn is an exercise in catharsis, of purging, of giving in to get out. He's coming to terms with his blood and stepping off the pulpit. Kendrick Lamar is a human being, not a god.
The children of Israel is going to punish us for our iniquity, for our disobedience, because we chose to follow other gods. That as a man chasing his son, so the Lord thy God chasing thee. So just like you're chasing your own son, he's going to chasten you because he loved you. So that's why we get chastised. That's why we're in the position that we're in. Until we come back to these laws, statutes, and commandments and do what the Lord says, these curses is going to be upon us. We're going to be at a lower state in this life that we live here and today in the United States of America. I love you, Simon, and I pray for you. God bless you. Shalom.
The outro of Fear resumes with a voicemail left by Uncle Carl, whose words seem to be an explanation of the curses and lashes that is the album Damn. Kendrick remarked months ago that this album was urgent. In the aftermath of a vicious election cycle, the palpable division of our country, our increased tensions abroad, it would seem Kendrick was eager to reveal to us the wickedness of modern times. His cousin urges Kendrick, and by proxy, Kendrick urges us all, to return to the righteous values of God, or the wretched, wayward direction of our world would continue towards an ominous conclusion. As Kendrick states on the song Feel, quote, the feeling of an apocalypse happening, but nothing is awkward. It seems we've grown accustomed to sin, malice so commonplace it passes as normalcy. If Damn were to resolve like Kendrick's previous works, the voicemail that ends Fear would be followed by a series of New Testament anthems, another blueprint for a better life inspired by the words of his uncle. Instead, we get the rather puzzling God, a song that feels at once euphoric and tongue-in-cheek. If it's resolution, it's brief and abstract, far from the deliberate solutions of Good Kid and Butterfly.
This would God feel like, yeah. Laughing to the bank like, ah, yeah. Flex on swole like, ah,
then there's the album's closing track, Duckworth, in which Kendrick masterfully tells the chance story of his father Ducky and Anthony Top Dog Tiffith, owner of TDE, the record company Kendrick signed to as a teenager. Top Dog was known to habitually rob the KFC Kendrick's father worked at, but because Ducky gave him some free chicken and extra biscuits, Top spared his life. Some 20 years later, Ducky's son is the keystone of Top's record company, the greatest rapper of our generation made possible by some free biscuits. Kendrick finds it all an amusing act of God. He ends the album speculating an alternative reality where Top does kill Ducky, where Top receives life in prison, and Kendrick grows up without a father, and thus dies a gangbanger in the streets of Compton.
I tell you why. You take two strangers and put them in random predicaments. Give them a soul so they can make their own choices and live with it. 20 years later, them same strangers, you make them meet again inside recording studios where they reaping their benefits. Then you start reminding them about that chicken incident. Whoever thought the greatest rapper would be from coincidence? Because if Anthony killed Ducky, Top Dog could be serving life while I grow up without a father and die in a gunfight.
And it's here we realize that the album is bookended with death. The album opens with Kendrick dying at the hands of our sightless society, a crucifixion caused by Kendrick's act of kindness. The album closes with Kendrick's death in an alternative life without a father or record deal to keep him from gangbanging, the very same death he narrowly escaped on Good Kid, Mad City. And it would seem that throughout Damn, Kendrick alternates between these two realities, the fatherless, wicked life of lust, pride, and ego, and the martyred, sensitive life of weakness that exhibits love, loyalty, and fear. It's a musing on fate, free will, the comedic frailty of life, the butterfly effect of a good deed, the colossal power of circumstance. But beneath it all is absolute bleakness, as both scenarios end in Kendrick's untimely death. Damned if you do, damned if you don't.
God damn you. God damn me. God damn us. God damn we, God damn us all.
Of course, we've been with Damn less than a week, undoubtedly an insufficient amount of time to digest it with any certainty or thoroughness. We haven't talked at all about the mysterious reoccurring seagull samples, the countless biblical references, the blatant shots taken at his rap peers, the possible acronym made from the last letter of each song, and the likelihood that the album can be played from back to front to reveal an alternative narrative. Yes, it took me over 6 months and 350 pages to feel comfortable speaking about To Pimp a Butterfly with any kind of certainty, and it would seem Damn requires a similar approach. But Kendrick called this album urgent, and I felt compelled to express my initial thoughts. Because frankly, I'm a little bit worried about Kendrick Lamar. The incessant prophesizing of his death, his isolation, loneliness, fear, his backpedaling from the self-created mythos of savior, all without a well-defined resolution. Kendrick is clearly in a dark place. On To Pimp a Butterfly, Kendrick did his best to find resolution for the world. It was a prayer for all of us. It would seem that with Damn, it's time we returned the favor. Dissect is written and produced by me. If you've been missing Dissect over the break, be sure to follow at Dissect Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, where I'll be posting more thoughts and discoveries about Damn. Also, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Dissect on Apple Podcasts, and tell a friend or two about the show. I'm hoping to begin Season 2 this summer, the subject of which I'll be revealing first through the Dissect newsletter. You can sign up for that at DissectPodcast.com. Talk to you soon.